What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 265, and our podcast is, of course, brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
I made it back just in time.
Yeah,
you sat down. The risky start click. I made it back.
Yeah.
I walked in. I could hear the start music coming out of my headphones. I was like, oh, hope I got time to sit down.
Well, I would have just continued on without you. You had some rain and you were showing me yesterday your house was almost flooded. And
well, I mean, not almost, but I mean, it was closer than we like usually, but
yeah,
it's been worse previously. So okay. Yeah, no, but it's all like back down within the banks of the creek. So it's all good now.
Derek's in the house, one of our regulars. What's going on, Derek? I have this new Red Bull here.
A new flavor, right?
I think it's new. Well, I saw it at the store and I've never seen it before. So, I mean, it might be out for a year. Who knows? But it's the red edition. It's the watermelon. So this will help me get.
Oh, you haven't drank it? I haven't opened it.
I'm doing a live taste test. We're doing it live.
So I like the normal like Red Bull taste.
Yeah, me too.
I can drink a full size one, but I can't do like two of them. Ooh, not that you really should. It's pretty good.
This is good. I wonder how. So with like with pop and soda, I don't know how you. I call it pop, but a lot of people call it pop. Soda.
Yep.
Yeah. No. But so I don't like the like. I had a Mountain Dew the other day. Like I was running errands, and I had a Mountain Dew, and the aftertaste was so bad. And sometimes I get that with Red Bull, so we'll see how this goes.
Do you just not drink a lot of pop?
No, I try to get off of the only thing I drink is the white Monster.
Yeah,
sugar free, whatever. But a lot of like this is like what I'm stuck on, which is like these are for what they are, which is essentially water. They're very expensive, but that's like it's better than non flavored
water. Yeah,
but essentially it's just water. But you pay a lot of money for it. But it's good. Anyways, but yeah, this watermelon,
I'm gonna try one.
Yeah, it's sweet. I like sweet stuff. So yeah, we'll keep on drinking that throughout the podcast and keep me awake here. I don't know. I said before we got on here, I look very tired. It's just
all that packing you've been doing.
Yeah, if you look behind me, you can see
boxes behind you.
Moving boxes are they've taken the place of the
white cabinets and product.
Yeah,
boxes.
The iconic wall of boxes, which I'm going to have to replace when I move. So
sponsored by Lowe's now.
So it's been kind of interesting packing everything away. So I'm still doing that. And with everything else, we got reviews. We got a ton of some really interesting news this week to get into for sure. Old man is in the house as well. What is going on? But yeah, I guess we can just jump right into it. If you are watching live or if you're watching or listening, I guess you can watch too. Yeah. Cause this gets put out on YouTube.
Sure can.
If you are listening later too, and you want to follow along, LinkedIn in the description is our show notes, that you can go ahead and, you know, see everything that we're going to be talking about. And it'll give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about. If you are listening later, you can obviously skip through and get to the, you know, some of the stuff you actually want to hear about if there's something you don't want to hear about. So we'll start things off with something that's actually behind me. If you guys can wait, let me go this way. Ah, I hit the desk. it's right there. Wait, I can never do this right. I still can't do it.
There you go.
It's right there. It's that monitor right there, which is the Gigabyte G27Q. It's a 27-inch, 144Hz gaming monitor. So we did see Gigabyte get into the monitor space, I think it was like 2 years ago with Aorus. So Aorus is, of course, their gaming line, and they put out some pretty nice Aorus gaming monitors. They're moving things down to the Gigabyte line, so not as flashy, not as many features, more budget friendly, which I kind of like. Just like their motherboards, like the Aorus, or even their graphics cards, like the Aorus is the more expensive, more feature oriented brand, where Gigabyte is more of like a mainstream, you know, not as expensive type brand. Sure. And they're doing that with their monitors, which is pretty cool because just like we see with a few other companies who are more like the budget friendly, you do get a lot of value with these. You know, and again, when especially nowadays, if you're building a PC, your monitor is kind of like the last thing you think about. And a lot of people want to kind of save some money on a monitor. So it's nice to have, you know, Gigabyte has two lines now, again, Aorus and just their normal Gigabyte line. So this monitor, as I said, 27-inch IPS panel, 1440p display, 144 hertz. And it's kind of like your basic monitor. I would just say there's not, even though they call it a gaming monitor, if you look at it, it kind of just gives off that normal monitor vibe. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's
It's not like the stand is real flashy. There's no, nothing looking at it makes screams gaming by any means.
Yeah, not at all. Which again, some people like don't care about that stuff.
Fine. And
sadly, in some other brands, you pay money for that cool look when it's just like, you're not really looking at, I'm not looking at the stand of the monitor that's in front of me. I'm looking at the actual screen, which is important. As far as the stand and everything like that goes, it allows just for vertical adjustment. So here it is at its lowest setting. It goes up 130 millimeters, which is should be more than enough for most people. No pivot or swivel. You can tilt it, decent amount, but it's kind of weird to see, especially a monitor, because this is not curved, to see a monitor that you can't adjust the orientation. So I can't put this into portrait at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty standard feature. And no tilt. Right. Or no, I'm sorry, there's tilt, but no pan.
There's no pivot. So you can't
pivot. Yeah.
It's kind of odd swivel. Too.
Yeah.
Swivel. Sure. So you don't get that on this. But again, if you're not doing those things, it's fine. And this does support a standard face mount. And actually, like their mounting system, because, okay, so many times the mount, you guys can see the mounting system right here. So many times that the actual stand is built into the monitor, or you like click it in, right? Yep. So in order to do a monitor mount, you have to unclick it. And then when you bought your monitor, there's a small little bag of the VESA adapters or whatever you have to put in there. You've probably lost those by the time you're mounting it. And you're like, screwed. So this, you just remove the four screws, put on the VESA mount, and then screw it back in. Like you don't,
it's not proprietary. Yeah. It's a standard. Yeah.
It's far less complicated than other monitors, which I really do like. So we have that. As far as connections go, you have audio pass through, and then you have one display port, two HDMI, centrally located power connector. Another thing I don't like about this monitor is that it comes with an AC adapter. It's not a standard power connection. I've moved a lot in the past, and you just lose those. They just get lost.
Or you have a bag or a box of like 10 of those things, like you're packing up, and then you get there and you're like, this power supply is not labeled Gigabyte. Like, I don't know, does this actually go to the monitor or not? Let me look at the voltages and the amperage, right? So you're not screwing something up. Yeah.
Yeah. I've screwed some stuff up because I just, it fits in there. And then I turn it on and then
it fits. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So it does come with the AC adapter, which I anything that's proprietary, I'm not a fan of. It doesn't matter what it is. You do get a USB hub in here, two port USB 3.0 hub. It does come with a cable. So many monitors do not come with a cable, even if they have the hub, you have to buy it yourself. It does come with a cable, which is nice. And then on to more performance stuff. I use this. I played a lot of Apex Legends over the past couple days on this, which is really nice. I guess I'll go over that before I go over the software. So again, this is an IPS panel, which is very accurate, very accurate color representation. So you're going to get solid colors across the board, which not only is great for gaming, but if you are a gamer who's, you know, editing clips later, or you're editing video, or you're editing photos, or whatever it may be, you're going to get very accurate colors, which of course is really good. Also on this, I would say 27 inches for 1440p is ideal. So when you're looking at text, like here's the text from the website, you don't have to use any type of scaling within Windows for any of your applications. It's all going to look good. It's all going to look sharp. It's all going to look crisp. So many times we see like a 32-inch monitor or something like that, where you might need to use scaling for 1440p here. You don't need to use any of that kind of stuff. As far as the size too, like a single window is really good. I would say you can do side by side, but it is going to be crunched in just a little bit. You're not going to get like that, like a 30, like a 32 is, I would say, perfect for side by side. 34 is even better, but
yeah, I'm a, you know, this is exactly, you know, I run a 27 inch 1440 screen, and I hardly ever do side by side. It's just too many sights. It just doesn't look well enough. And I've got, you know, a secondary monitor or two that I usually do that if I need to have some two screens. But yeah, I think a little 32 inch or something a little bigger is much better for that kind of use.
Yeah. So as far as gaming, again, as I said, I played a ton of Apex Legends on this thing. It is, as I said, 144 hertz easily, like, you know, it's going to be great for fast paced games. So not only Apex, Counter-Strike Source, Call of Duty, Fortnite, like any fast paced game is going to be great on this. And if you're moving up from 60, 75, even 100 hertz, you're going to tell the difference immediately. Even when you, like when you first plug this in, it's going to still be running at 60 hertz. As soon as you change it to 144, even in Windows, you can just like tell the difference. Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the, like, besides like moving from a hard drive to an SSD on like display side, moving from 60 hertz to anything 144 and over is one of the best upgrades that you're going to make if you're really a gamer. Like, it's just, everything's going to look better. So you have that, and the display does feature AMD FreeSync Premium. That can be run over DisplayPort or HDMI up to 144 hertz. No problem there. Yeah, and like I said, it looks great. The colors look great. The only thing that you're going to miss on an IPS over, say, like a VA panel is your viewing angles aren't going to be as good. But I think for most people, you're going to be right in front of this thing. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be, it's not like a, you know, super widescreen or anything like that. And your contrast ratio is not going to be as good. But an IPS panel is like, again, it's kind of gives you the best of both worlds, because if you're somebody like us, like I like to game, but at the same time, I create content and I want accurate colors when I'm editing video. I want accurate colors when I'm editing photos. So it's kind of a win-win. We did use our SpiderX Pro to test the display. 100% sRGB, 87 Adobe RGB, and 97% of the P3 color space, which is really good. Brightness levels, this is rated at 350 nits. If you run the FPS setting, it gets up to, where are we at? It gets almost up to 400. This is VESA HDR 400 rated. This is not an HDR display. Anything below, I would say anything really below 800 or 1000, you're not going to get that HDR experience. You're just not. But it gets up to its rated, you know, brightness levels, and we have all that data and all the different settings. Which if we go back into software, the one thing that sets the Aorus and the Gigabyte monitors apart from other ones is that they include software that allows you to change all the settings on the monitor. So on most monitors, like the one I have in front of me, there's 5 buttons on this thing, and it's so clunky. It, like, to change input or to adjust my brightness or my contrast or anything, it's just so clunky. Even the Gigabyte monitor, it does include a joystick, which is far better than the buttons that are on this. But even with the joystick, it's still clunky. It still takes time. They include software that looks like this. And basically, it's a rundown of everything. You can see you have your brightness, your contrast, your sharpness, black equalizer. You can turn FreeSync on or off. Like everything that's in the settings is basically on this main screen. You have all of your different profiles. So standard FPS, RT, like it's all here. There's this esports customized, which is basically you can make your own custom profile and you can, you know, have that for whenever you're playing games, or you can have it for if you're editing video. Like you can make your own custom one, which is really nice too.
Does that require the monitor to be connected with that USB cable?
Yeah, so that's why they include the USB cable, is your monitor does need to be plugged in to use the software.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They also have hotkeys, which is pretty cool. So just like a macro on a, you know, like on a macro button on a keyboard, you can do the same thing, but like with monitor functions. So if you're playing a game, you know, this is one of the monitors that you can have the always on crosshair, like in the center of your screen. You can hit I can hit like F8 and turn that on, or a timer, or you can display like the FPS that you're getting like on the monitor. You can do all that with hotkeys, which is pretty nice. In general settings, you can select your input. It's just that easy. OSD transparency. You can set your resolution and your frequency within the software. You don't have to go into like the NVIDIA control panel or the AMD control panel to do it. You can do it all within the software, which is nice. And then quick switches. These are actually on the joystick. So you can set what those do as well. And then you can actually update the software and firmware on the monitor through the software as well. So it's like, I don't know why it took so long for this to be a thing.
It needs to be more of a thing with other vendors, you know, other companies.
Software is a tough thing because we talk about it with AIOs. We talk about it with RGB lighting. Like, software is not easy, and it's not easy.
This should be there. Like, what do you need to update on this for the most part?
That's true. So that's like one of the killer things about this monitor. It just makes things so much easier. It makes even going between your profiles easier. Like, it just makes everything about this monitor easier. That's why I'm a big fan of it. Overall, I gave it a 9 out of 10. This sells for $289.99. So a 1440p IPS panel, that's an insanely good price. You are getting a USB 3.0 hub 2 port, so that can be your keyboard and your mouse plugged into your monitor, which saves you, it just makes things much easier, or whatever else you want to plug into it. Has the audio pass through, as I said. The things that this doesn't have, obviously the big thing is the swivel support and changing the orientation of the monitor. You're just not going to get that. It's, you know, so if that's a big deal, there's other options, or you can just buy a monitor arm or a VESA mount for it to do those things. And then the other thing, again, if you are looking between a VA panel and IPS panel, IPS panel is not going to have as good of a contrast ratio, and your viewing angles aren't going to be as good. But I like the idea of a gaming IPS panel. And yeah, it looks great. So
cool.
So yeah, so
check out that wallpaper.
I randomly found this because I was like, I'm not going to take the picture here with the Windows, the default Windows background that's been on this system. So I need something cool. And I think I just typed in 1440p wallpaper, and it's from Reddit. I think that's where I picked it up. So go ahead and check that out. But yeah, check it out. They have a couple different versions. I think they sent us another one, but I haven't opened the box yet, but I think it's the VA panel. They have one that's a 27QC, I think. That is a curved VA panel that's 165 hertz maybe. And then they have another one that's very similar. I think it's also a VA panel, but it comes with a built-in KVM, which is pretty cool. So they have a bunch like within this price range, within this, you know, the 27-inch 1440p, they have a bunch. So you guys can go ahead and check all of those out.
I already set it as my wallpaper.
See, that's a good wall. That is a good wallpaper, I'm telling you.
It is. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so... good. Also this week I took a look at a massive case. I love big cases. There's something about that. Maybe I'm old school, because like, you remember the old school cases were like huge, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, those old Antecs and like Chief Techs, right? Like just tall and double 80 millimeters at the back. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. So this is from Thermaltake. It is their View 51 TG ARGB. There's a bunch of different versions of this case. The TG ARGB, I think, is the most expensive out of all of them, but it's different variants. So you can see which, you know, if you, again, this is like TG stands for tempered glass, and ARGB, of course, is for the ARGB lighting that you're going to get in the included fans. So, so this is a massive case, full tower. We'll go and take a look at it. It is a big case with three massive glass panels. So you have the one on the front, the one on the side, and the one on the top. As you can see, it comes with fans. So it comes with, at the front, you get these two massive 200 millimeter fans. They are ARGB fans. They're huge. They're like, big ass fans. They're only going to run at 600 RPM. So they're going to be extremely quiet, which is nice. Another thing about this case, we don't talk about it enough because not enough case manufacturers are doing it. We've seen on a bunch of higher end cases, but you do get USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C on here. as well as two USB 3.0, as well as two USB 2.0. So you could, like, if you have a USB keyboard, mouse, and headset, you could plug them all in right here.
What I have found, like, I appreciate those ports, but that placement, like, for a couple of these, like, drives, right, that I have plugged in, I have to, like, set the drive on top, or even one, like, the this Western Digital, it just, like, hangs off the front of the case.
Yeah, that texture. Is true.
So it's kind of a, I don't know, a hit or miss. I appreciate having the ports. Their placement could be better in some cases, but whatever.
Yeah, nice
especially the Type-C.
Yeah, I like the Type-C. As more things move to Type-C, we're going to get, it's going to become more prevalent, but we still don't see enough cases with it, in my opinion. So both the front and the top of the case do come off quite easily to reveal, of course, your fans and your cooling. Both the fronts and the top have these really cool cooling brackets. So the front and the top, as well as the entire bottom of the case, which I'll show you, they all support radiators up to 360 millimeters or three 120 or 140 fans. I believe the top and the front both will fit the two 200 millimeters as well. So if you want to move these from the front to the top, you can. But as you can see, there's just four thumb screws and these pull right out. They're super easy to remove. So it just makes installing radiator fans so much easier, obviously. And we've seen this from a bunch of companies for a while. So the side panel, main side panel is tempered glass. And this is, we don't talk about this enough, but this is thick tempered glass, four millimeters thick tempered glass. It's heavy, it's big. The other side panel, you'll get a bunch of ventilation and you'll see why once we get inside. The rear of the case, it gives you a good idea of the layouts. We have our third included fan, which is 120 millimeter, again, ARGB. You see this little section right here on the back of the case, that's for hard drives. It opens up and reveals two trays. These trays support 2.5-inch and 3.5-inch hard drives. You can easily, again, pull them out, install your drives, and just throw them right back in. It's just that easy. The entire bottom of the case has a filter that pulls out from the back of the case. And as we get inside, the cool thing about this case is they have this little nut, I guess you would call it, that moves, that allows you to unlock the side panel. The side panel will open just like a door, and it's on these hinges, so you can just pull it right out. I remember there's a few cases, like big cases I had, that before they figured out that you could do this little hinge thing, you would be installing and you'd have this big glass panel sitting vertically. Oh, yeah. And I'd be like, I'm going to break this thing.
Some of those first iterations of mounting panels on, you know, you're like trying to stick it over some pegs. And at first they didn't even have those like rubber grommets. So it was like bare metal on this glass. It was nerve wracking. This stuff's much better.
Yeah, so they have that all figured out. So here's like it just pulls right off of there. It's super, super easy. And once you get inside, this is like the basic layout that we've seen on so many cases, i.e. the Lianli O11. It's very much similar. So inside you can fit, this is true full tower. You have 8 expansion slots. Support for EATX, plenty of cable routing holes, although only the two in the center have the rubber inserts. And then you see this massive cooling section, which has become more prevalent. You can see it right here. This also will support three 120s or 140s, and I believe radiators up to 360 millimeters as well. So like this case is really designed for water cooling. It's just that big and massive. Another cool thing, talking about water cooling, you do get your pump mount, which is included. A lot of cases, you have to figure that out yourself, but they have pump mount included. You also do get a vertical GPU mount that actually supports two GPUs. So you can vertically mount two GPUs on here if you wanted to. It's kind of nice that it does come included.
And it'll help with, well, I guess it doesn't help with sagging so much when you do them vertically, but yeah, it's nice to have there.
You also, it doesn't come with the risers, so you would have to buy the riser cable, but it does save you because like the kits are like 40, 45 bucks probably, where like a riser cable is like 15 on Amazon or something like that. So it does save you some money if you're going that route. And then on the bottom, you can see it is completely ventilated. So you have two SSD mounts that are removable. And again, the entire section, bottom section of the case is ventilated. So if you wanted to install cooling down here, you can go ahead and do that as well. So tons of room for cooling. And I was kind of bummed out that there's only four total hard drive. Like out of the box, you can only support four hard drives, two SSDs, and then either two more SSDs or two more full-size hard drives, which is, it's just a little disappointing. If we move on to the backside of the case, so this is two compartment design. So that main compartment, which I showed you, basically shows off your system. Then you hide everything in the back compartment. That's why I always like to call the back compartment. You just hide everything. Yeah. We have that hard drive cage right here. Your power supply will be mounted vertically, actually, right here. And then you do get this pretty cool RGB and fan hub. So all three of the fans are connected to this. But the thing I don't like about it, it's proprietary connection. So they're actually a 6-pin proprietary connection. What this controller allows you to do is that on the front of the case, there's an R button for RGB. This allows you to cycle through colors in effect. There's a bunch of different effects that you can cycle through. Also, you can connect a 3-pin addressable header to this controller, and then it will control, you can control through your motherboard software as well. But there's this weird 3-pin fan header here, so you can install one more fan, but you don't have RGB control on that fan. It's all proprietary. Yeah, and it's like, if you want to stay in the Thermaltake ecosystem, right, you would want to like have more of these six proprietary 6-pin ports.
Right. Do they even make like a controller that has that connection?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? It's
So it is nice that everything is pre-wired for you, so you don't have to wire any of the fans. Everything is run for you.
Nice, and it's one cable too.
Yeah, so you don't have to wire anything. But if you want to expand, which I assume, given the size of this case, you're gonna want to expand, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of screwed on, especially on like all the fans doing the same effect, because they're going to be off because you're running three off this controller. If you get another Thermaltake, let's say you get three 140s for the top of the case, the Thermaltake, they have their own controller, or you connect them to the motherboard. Like it's going to be a mess.
Yep.
So, but you do get that, which again is nice, but it's just based on this case, it's not the best option, I would say. So insulation is a breeze in this case. It's huge. I love huge cases because they're easy to build in, and I don't like small spaces. So you have, like I said, I mean, it's just, this is a full ATX motherboard, easy, no problem. Big CPU cooler. I think this is 160 millimeter CPU cooler on there. No problem. Power supply goes in, no problem. We mounted our SSDs. Again, graphics card. I think if you don't install like a radiator or anything in the front, I think you can fit graphics cards up to 440 millimeters.
I mean, there's so much room there.
Yeah, there's so much room in this case. Like, our build just does not do this case justice, which, again, I really think this case is designed for water cooling in
mind. I mean, if you put some, 120s or 140s along that back panel, it'll kind of help make it look a little more full. Or, like you said, put some radiators and a pump reservoir in there, then it'll really start to fill things up.
And this like the build is so clean and so easy because you have so much space. Everything went in so well. It's even like the backside, like I didn't use any of the cable ties because I just didn't feel like I needed them, because nobody's seeing this except for like this part down here. But you really don't, like, everything is just, there's just so much space. Mm-hmm. But given that space, I feel it's just not used the best way. The biggest thing is, like, there's only room for, again, four hard drives in this case.
Yeah, you could definitely fit more hard drives on that backside with how that drive cage is laid out. You could stack two of those drive cages even.
Yeah, or something. The reason I say that is because we have cases like the Meshify 2 from Fractal that gives you, 9 hard drive options out of the box. You know, it's just like this big of a case for hard drives is just, it's not enough for me. But yeah, it performs really well. Temperatures are in check. You do have enough cooling. It's not a high airflow by any means, but you're getting some air in there. Temperatures are fine. The front fans are incredibly quiet. The back fan is quiet as well. No issues there. You can see what it looks like all lit up. It does. Those fans do look really awesome in the front, for sure. It's 200 millimeter fans are just huge. So
they are
having 200 millimeter RGB fans is really awesome. The power button lights up and you have, you know, yeah, it's like I said, if you want to light up the entire inside of the case, you will need RGB strips. I'm telling you that. It's just the two front fans and the back fan and even our RGB memory was not even close to being enough to light up the entire inside. So get some RGB strips for that. But yeah, like this is priced at, what is this priced at? This is $179.99. The MSRP is $229. So you can find it cheaper than its MSRP. I'm okay with the price considering the size of the case, the three massive glass panels, three RGB, ARGB fans, two of which are 200 millimeters, included pump mount, included vertical GPU mounts. That's fine, like price-wise, I'm okay with it. But I really wish that Thermaltake offered a smaller version of this case. The reason I say that is for people like me who, like our build in here is single GPU, ATX motherboard. It's just, there's dead space. There's so much dead space in this case if you're not populating that cool, that internal cooling section. There's just so much dead space. And we talked about this with other cases too. A lot of full towers. Like if you're just doing a simple build, there's a lot of dead space. And just like with Fractal Design did with their Meshify 2, I even said in that review, there's a bunch of dead space, right?
Yep.
But they released the Meshify C, which gets rid of that dead space. I really wish that Thermaltake would have like a View 41 that would be smaller. Sure. They have a View 31, but it's not the same design. The design that I'm talking about is a two compartment design where you have one compartment that has your motherboard and graphics card. And on the opposite, the compartment houses your motherboard and some extra storage. Mm-hmm. Like I would love something like the Corsair 680X, which I have sitting right beside me here. That size is ideal for me.
Like you could still do a smaller case and keep those 200 millimeter fans up front, right? Shrink the length a little, you know, make it a little not as deep, and you could narrow it down just a little bit as well, and it'd still work.
Yeah, it would literally be the Corsair 680X. Like the size wise, like it would be more boxy, right? It wouldn't be as more tower-ish. Yep. It'd be more boxy, but like again, most builders, especially now because you can't buy more than one graphics card, you know, most builders are doing a more simple build, and it would just be nice for them to support that. This is obviously designed for water cooling, but it would just be nice to have that other option. Mm-hmm. So Derek said cheaper than the Dynamic XL and may have more features except for hot swap drive bays in the yeah, that's one thing some people talked about is those rear bays. They'd be nice if they had a hot swap bracket in the back so you wouldn't have to open the back of the case. I would say, because I've seen a Dynamic XL, I like the design of that one better. I think the reason I would say the same thing is because I don't have the top fans populated and things like that. It just, this case looks more empty, right? It just, but if I was doing a water cooling build, and I've seen a bunch of water cooling builds in this case, they look awesome. So yeah, that's, I don't know how much the Dynamic XL sells for. Probably a lot.
I don't know.
But I think it is a good case. I just wish they offered a smaller version, which they do not, which is surprising to me.
Looks like it's about $229.
Yeah, $229. So this is $179. So yeah. So I gave it 8 out of 10. Another big thing which we see, which is kind of surprising given the size of these fans, there's no filters on any of the cooling brackets besides the bottom one.
I think that's okay, though, on this, because you're already, you've got them up against a tempered glass panel for the most part. There is a little side ventilation, right? But it's not, it's not filtering any dust. But I think with the small amount of a gap between the fan and the front panel, I would rather not have mesh there to cut down on, you know, your airflow a little bit. Plus, those fans look so much better when there's not a,
that is true, a
filter in front.
Yeah, because like my 680X has the filter, and yeah,
it just kind of dulls them down.
Yeah, but like I said, overall it's a good case. It's priced competitively, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's just, while I do like the two compartment design, Corsair didn't do it right either. I even said in my review of the 680X, which was like almost 2 years ago, is that the opposite, the backside, which I'll show you guys, like the backside is just empty. Like, it's just not designed. Oops, I'll go back one more. Oh, I can. It's just like, this is just, it needs to be designed better. You know what I mean? It's just a bunch of empty space. Like, there's just so much more space that you could take advantage of. I don't know how you would do it, but even you said like stacking these two or doing something different, like, you know, I just think it could have been designed better. But again, check out the review. I think it's if you're looking for something big, if you're doing water cooling, this is definitely a case that you should consider. If you're loading this up with fans, again, something that you can consider, and it's going to be so easy to build in because it's massive. So go ahead and check that review out as well. That brings us to Ryan's video that we've hyped up for like ever. Like, we hyped it up for like a long time. And you can see Ryan here talking about it. Just give us the rundown on what this video is. And we have it linked in the show notes if you guys want to actually check it out. It is on this YouTube page as well. But
yeah, so I don't know, a couple months ago, I did this build, it's kind of sponsored by Alpha Cool. You know, they provided all the water cooling components. And we did a soft tube build in the Inwin 905. Well, we've kind of upgraded that to the Inwin 925 and went along and replaced all the tubing with hardline. So, you know, things like having to get the heat gun out to thin tubes and get them at the right angle. Alpha Cool also sent us over their ice coffer kit, which helps you, you know, bend tubes. That's got all these dies where you can get like the exact angle that you need. It's got the tools for sanding down the ends of the cable, or I'm sorry, the tubing. So it's a really nice kit that helped out a ton in this. So this, you know, video just kind of goes over the build in general, and I kind of overview the loop, you know, what's the flow of it. It's a design that's similar to what we had in the previous case, the 905, where, you know, the flow of the liquid comes out of the pump and into the backside of the GPU there. And it actually splits and the liquid goes between both the video card and the CPU. So it's a series loop, but it has a parallel component to it when you come to the GPU and CPU there. So once it goes through those two components, it then goes up to the top mounted 360 millimeter radiator, and then out that radiator to the front of the case to the other 360 millimeter radiator to get some cool intake air. And then once it's done with that radiator, back into the top of the reservoir. So all sorts of RGB in there. It's got 9 Inwin Sirius Loop fans. Both, you know, the video card and CPU are lit up with RGB as well. Got a couple Corsair light strips in there. I love how it looks. Like, I look at it now and it's just like,
isn't it so good after doing a build? Like, so I remember, it's so nice. You remember when I did the Corsair build in the 680X, and mm-hmm. once it was done, I was like, damn.
Like, when I hit, like, I got some shots too. Like, you can see it there. It's normally not in that orientation at my desk. I usually have it kind of sitting how yours is, right? You see the side of your case typically. Well, I've got it turned to the side. So I'm actually looking at the back of the case, the rear of the case. So the three fans are actually blowing on me right now. But I really like this orientation. I think I'm going to leave it like this for a while, maybe get a different table for it. But you know, dude, I'm so happy with how it turned out. I will definitely say that like a hardline build is much more difficult than a soft tube build, and 10 times harder than an all-in-one install, right? An AIO liquid cooler is so easy to put in compared to a hard line build, because you've got to make sure that your lengths are correct. So pause it there for just a second. So like up at the top of the case under those three fans, there's just that straight line. That's like, that was the easiest piece to make because I just needed to know how long it was. But you also need to know how deep into those fittings does that tube need to go, right? So in that kit that Alpha Cool provided, it has some tools in there to help out with that. But oh, you're like, okay, nice. How do I get a hard line in between two fittings that are like stuck, right? I can't, because you can't like bend the tubing because it's hard. Yeah. So you have to like kind of angle it in there with the rotating fittings. So that's all sorts of stuff you have to think about, all these lengths and, you know, sometimes rebending some of the runs that you have there, depending on, you know, well, this one's not fitting just right, or yeah. I've got a little bit of a leak somewhere. But it was a ton of fun. It was a good learning experience for me. I'm excited to do another one, honestly. Right. Another hard tube.
Yeah, build. I mean, that's the thing is, like, once you do it once, you're like, oh, I want to do it again. And this is not like a cheap thing.
No, it is not cheap. You know, all the components added up is quite a cost. So it's, you know, cost prohibitive if it's just like, you can't be doing this every time you think you want a new case or want to change things up. It's definitely a monetary cost and a time cost, especially if you're new to it. But super fun. The most challenging build I've ever done. And I mean, looking at it, it doesn't look like that complex of a build, but I think it looks pretty clean, right? Well, I was pretty happy with my bends. And really, I've only got four bends there. There's three 45 degree bends and a 90. Yeah. But I kind of liked that look. I prefer the parallel look on the components to, I don't know. I think it looks cleaner. So nice. I don't know. I'm happy with it.
Finn in the chat said, will it run Wolfenstein 2 at max settings?
I mean, I hope so.
So you have
depends
a
on
you
resolution, have a right?
2070 in there.
2070 right? Super, yep.
Yeah. So yeah, so check out the video. It is linked in the show notes. You can check it out on our YouTube page as well. And again, special thanks to our friends over at Alpha Cool for hooking us up with all of that hardware.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it turned out really well.
So. And it's running just the clear coolant that they provided as well in there. And I really like how the clear looks with the tubing is so nice when it's fresh and like, you know, doesn't have my fingerprints on it. I like had to clean all the tubing off to get it all off. And it looks so nice when it's clear, but I do want to try it with a colored liquid in there at some point. So
yeah,
maybe in the future, if we change that up, or if I ever, you know, if I move on to a 30 series or something newer, do an update on the video. So
nice. Yeah. Well, that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And it just so happens that this build.
I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to run for 2 seconds here.
Okay. Well, this build features Alpha Cool cooling components as well. This is called Project Razor, and as you can tell by the colors, this is Razor themed. So this is done by APIC Mod Mode, and he has some really cool builds, but this one again is all done with Alpha Cool stuff. And obviously you can tell by the colors and the Razor logo. I think the Razor green in a case always goes well, just because it's just like neon green. I think some like the first coolant for like water cooling stuff was like that neon green, or at least the tubing was way back in the day. That dates myself, but you have all that in here. Like it's just a good overall looking build. I think this is in, Derek, I think this is in the O11 Dynamic, or O11 Dynamic Razor Edition. And it uses the ice ball, which is their ball pump or reservoir thing in here. So we got to see that at CES right before it was announced. So pretty cool overall build. I like it. Gotta love the Razor colors. It just looks really well. You can see, again, those bends that Ryan was talking about in his build, he kind of has the same kind of turn build or turn.
They did a lot of 90s in this, I noticed, but then like at that back one and a couple of them, they just kind of do some like lane changes almost, right? Like, to just make things line up, because that, you know, that's tough sometimes to, not everything's going to line up perfectly, and you're not going to be able to just have these straight runs or just a straight 90. You've got to kind of adjust, and fittings don't always allow for that as well. It really just kind of depends.
Yeah. Yeah, you were when you were gone. We were talking. This is in the O11 dynamic. Uh-huh. So this is what, you know, that's what this case would look like.
No, I like the color scheme in this. The like the green with the kind of yellowish green.
And we were talking about how, like, remember, like, the first coolant was like neon green, like for PC, or like at least, or the tubing was like way back in the day. Everybody was doing like the neon green. This kind of brings that back a little bit.
Old man using the green Swift Tech coolant. Man, I have some of that somewhere. I probably wouldn't use it now because it's really old, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So go ahead and check this one out. Of course, we have our full Case Mod Friday section. If you want to find it on the website, just go to articles, Case Mod Friday, and whenever it pops up, it will have all of, like, there's 43 pages of builds, so you can get a lot of, you know, motivation. Or just, I used to go, like, there was websites that would have, like, a Case Mod Friday, or, like, a Case Mod Gallery, and I would be on there for hours just, like, looking at what people scrolling. Did.
So
go ahead and check that out. Also, we are on week 8 of the moving giveaway. As we talked about earlier, you can see the boxes behind me. I am moving and I am getting rid of a lot of hardware so I don't have to move it across the country with me. Last week we gave away the Giel Orion DDR4 3600 16 gigabyte memory kit. This week we have the this is a good one. This is the Asus ROG Strix B550F gaming Wi-Fi motherboard. B550 motherboard. This is a nice B550 motherboard. It has Wi-Fi. It has proper VRM to handle new 5000 series chips from AMD. Super easy to enter. Again, these only last a week, so you have to get in on them, or you'll just, if you're like, oh, I'll do it, and then you'll miss it. As you can see, we have had 7 weeks of giveaways. So get your entry in. We do it on Gleam. You just have to enter your email address to get entered. And then after you do that, there's 11 other different ways you can enter by subscribing to YouTube and doing all this other kind of stuff. So go ahead and get your entry in on that. And damn, we're already at 47 minutes and we haven't even.
I know you were talking yet. Your two reviews. You were going.
I'm
popped up in that Red Bull and you're just like,
it's the Red Edition Watermelon Red Bull. We got to sponsor us now.
Yep. Oh, there's the email. They said, sure.
Yeah. That's right there. So lots of news this week on a bunch of different fronts, but we'll talk about graphics cards first. Specs were leaked for the NVIDIA RTX 3080 Ti and RTX 3070 Ti. What?
I said, ooh, wee.
Oh, I thought you said, oh, wait. And I was like, what?
No.
So the RTX 3080 Ti, as I said, this should be that $1,000 price point between the 3080 and 3090. Big difference here. This is the GA102225 GPU, and it's going to have 12 gigabytes of GDDR6. So the 3080 has 10. This is going to have 12. Not sure how fast it's going to be. But according to videocards.com, who's very reliable for the most part, on shelf mid-April. So coming up. Not that you'll be able to buy them, right?
No.
And then we have a 3070 Ti, which will feature the GA104-400, 8 gigabytes of GDDR6X, end of May. The thing is like, these aren't refreshes. So, like, are we going to get... So, all these cards, are we going to get super versions, like, holiday season? Or are we just going to get new GPU? Like, are we going to get 4000 series that time?
I don't know. I feel like releasing a 4000 series is like, people can't even get the 3 and you want to release the 4. Yeah.
But like, what I'm saying is like, that, well, at least according to their naming over the past year, these aren't refreshes.
True.
So when is the refresh? If we're gonna get are we gonna get supers again? So if like
maybe
that's the only thing
the power connection on this one. If you scroll up a little, see how those the power's on.
This is an old render. This is like, somebody made this.
Okay,
that would be cool, right? Mm-hmm. This would be cool for the, but somebody made this before.
Okay,
I think somebody made this before the 3000 series even came out. like a render, you know.
Gotcha.
That we use it because it's one of the only ones that say 3080 Ti, because we don't have any real pictures of a 3080
Ti. All right, makes sense.
I wish that
memory spec was a little higher on the 3070.
Yeah.
I just like more than 8 gig, I think.
I think doesn't the 3070 has 8 gigs now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I just, again, I would like to see it a little higher.
Yeah, when it's weird because a 3060 has, what, 10? Yeah. Or wait.
Well, and like, you know, I'm playing Apex on a 2070 Super, and if I look at my task manager or something, and I look at the video memory being used, and I'm almost at eight gigs, like, okay.
Yeah.
Why can't we go a little higher on these newer cards? But whatever. I'm sure they know.
Yeah. So last week, the day after our podcast, actually, NVIDIA, the first sales of their CMP 30HX, which is their crypto mining card, went on sale. I think it was like $700. We didn't do the conversion on this, but it was like decently expensive. It was like $700. This is the Palette version, which Palette is no longer. Palette used to be sold in the United States. It's not anymore. I think it's Europe and Asia only now. But this is their CMP 30, and this is horrible render. But that's what it's like. These aren't going to look great. You know what I mean?
No, there's no reason.
But, the hash. Ethereum hash rate 26 is 26, okay. Which the 3060, which we'll get to a story about, but we'll do double that. We'll do double that. I don't think people are buying these things. I just don't see it.
I think they would have sold if it weren't for items in the next couple stories.
Yeah. NVIDIA could launch their Ampere GA100 GPU under the CMP HX mining series. They just trying to get rid of all these GPUs that aren't being used. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I should do something with them.
Yeah. So we don't know what this, you know what I mean? This card, the A100, which is a compute card, it's not a...
Can you pull it up on the screen?
Oh yeah, hey, well, these are just renders of the thing. This is the actual card. The A100 is crazy because it has 40 gigabytes each. Like, it's their compute card. It's not a real graphic
card. Not a gaming card.
They could put it as like the highest end. The card sells for like $10,000. So, like, I don't know what miners are buying these things, but it would be cool to see. But I think NVIDIA is just trying to get rid of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And then our third mining story, which is kind of interesting, is that somebody found a way to... We already talked about it. So initially, the NVIDIA GeForce 4070.05 driver took out the hash rate limiter that was on the 3060. So when 3060 launched, we talked about it in our review, NVIDIA put a hash rate limiter on it. So to deter miners from buying the card, even though you still can't buy the card, but it was supposed to deter miners from buying the card, as it basically gimped the card for Ethereum mining, which is the most profitable mining that you can do with graphics cards right now. So NVIDIA then put out their driver that took this off. You can still download this driver and install
it. It's not from NVIDIA, yeah.
Yeah, but you can find it on Reddit. You can download it. Now, what the issue with this driver was, if you were like with this setup right here, if you have multiple graphics cards, is that one, you have... NVIDIA made it so that you needed the card to be installed at least in an X8 slot, X8 or higher slot. That's the one requirement. The second requirement is that the card needed to be connected to a monitor at all times. If it didn't think that it was connected to a monitor, it would just gimp the hash rate.
So I can use a second one as like a physics card. Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So in order for to run a mining setup, like people are like, how do I do that? Well, somebody on Quasar Zone, which is a forum, they found an old motherboard, which was a really awesome motherboard at the time. It is the, where is it? It is the Gigabyte G1 Sniper. Do you remember the Sniper boards from Gigabyte?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So they found a Gigabyte G1 Sniper that features 4 X8 slots. So got that covered. But then he's like, okay, how am I going to connect 4 monitors? Like, I don't want to have to buy 4 monitors to run these 4 cards to do some Ethereum mining, right? It's just extra power and extra money if you don't already have the monitors. So he went out and got these dummy plugs, which sell for $5.99 on Amazon, HDMI dummy plug, and plug it in, and it tricks the card to think that it is plugged in, and you bypass the hash rate limiter and you're good to go. How cool is that? So that is a way to bypass if you were, for some reason, like this person, lucky enough to pick up 4 3060s, they will give you a hash rate around 50. And this person was around 48. And this person was able with the 4 cards to get around 192, would be like 40, $50 bucks a day, maybe. Okay. Maybe less than that. So 3080 is like 80, and you make like $10 a day on that. So this would be like, I can't do math, but yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So Old Man says, I think I saw those dummy HDMI plugs being used back when the 7970 is being used for mining. I mean, more possibly. Again, some cards will, like, they need, for them to work, especially back then, they might have needed like an active video connection. So yeah. And then Old Man says all the mining cards will be in a landfill in a few years. I think so, because there's no resale. Like, there's no, after the next thing comes out and the miners reinvest their money in new cards,
are worthless then.
Nobody's buying them. Like, it's just, it's not worth it from a standpoint of they're going to be less efficient, and you're not going to be making as much money. So why buy them?
And again, you can't do anything with them at that point, right? It's not, they don't have video output, so you can't use them for that purpose. So yeah, it's kind of a waste.
Yeah. So one more thing from NVIDIA. They're upping the price of their GeForce Now membership, which is pretty, I always thought GeForce Now was such a good deal. If you didn't want to, especially if you couldn't buy a graphics card, which is like now, or even before, if you didn't want to invest in a new machine, basically there's GPUs in the cloud, they run the game, and then they stream that game to your device. And your device could be like a crappy MacBook or like any, it just, as long as you have a good internet connection, you could basically game at like crazy highs. Like, it would just, it's pretty awesome, actually. If you're a gamer and you can't afford, you know, and it used to be $5 a month for like their highest end membership. You know, now if they're doubling that price, it's gonna be $10 a month. Everybody who is on the $5 level will be grandfathered in at that five, but moving on, they're gonna be $10 a month, which again, I still don't think is that expensive.
No, I mean, if you're, you know, have a, maybe a just a pretty, you know, affordable laptop that's not a gaming laptop, or some other, you know, family PC that everybody uses and it's not built for gaming specifically, to be able to play these games for $10 a month, I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And before you even, like, if you're thinking about it, they do offer a free version, which gives you an hour a month to try it out, to see if your internet connection is even powerful enough, how it runs on your system. So go ahead and do that. It's cool. And the thing is that you have to own the game. It's not like you're getting, it's not like Xbox's
Game Pass.
Yeah, Game Pass, where you get access to games. This is where you get access to basically GPU power. So you have to own the game, but it supports a ton of games. It's pretty cool. So yeah, and they're expanding to all of these different different countries. Western Europe, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Korea, Taiwan, like that's probably the reason why they're increasing the price. But I still don't think $10, like I thought $5 was like a steal. So I think $10 for somebody who can't get a GPU or afford a GPU.
$120 a year. You can't get a GPU. It's less than you'd spend. So after a couple of years, you're still haven't even paid for a GPU. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. So Intel, their new CEO, I forget his name. Pat Gelsinger. Obviously Intel needed to shake things up. They brought him in. He's at least making these next couple of announcements that we're going to talk about are pretty big for Intel as a company in general. The first one you guys are going to be more interested in. They announced their 7-nanometer architecture called Meteor Lake. They're saying that it's going to launch in 2023 on the consumer level. It will be taped out in Q2 of this year. We don't know if we're going to go from. I don't believe we're just going to go from
14 to 7.
Yeah, 14 to 7.
You think there'll be something in between?
I think there's going to be. But yeah, because you can't. I mean, they're putting out the last 14 nanometer supposedly at the end of this month or in like a week or so. You're not going to wait till 2023 to put out another.
Put out something new.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see a 10. And then this 7, but they made it clear, like, we're taping this out. It's going to come on the consumer level in 2023. So that's when you would see.
Okay.
You would see 7-nanometer, but still, how?
They're so far behind. It seems like a very short amount of time to be on something in between.
Yeah, but they kind of need.
They got to have something, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's two things. The first thing is, like, how long has AMD been, since third-gen Ryzen, right, is 7-nanometer, right? Am I? Yeah. So that came out. When did that come out?
I'm looking up.
2019?
I think so, yeah.
You know, and they're only getting on that in 2023. But you have to think, because again, at 14 nanometer, which is twice the size, they're still competitive, which blows my mind, right? That's the crazy part to me.
What are they actually going to be at when they do get to 7?
Yeah.
How competitive will they be?
Yeah, so that's those things to think about. But that was one of the big announcements. The second big announcement, which I think is more important to their business, I would say, especially given the current state of semiconductor shortage that we're basically in. That's why you can't buy GPUs or CPUs, is that they're investing $20 billion in two new factories in Arizona. They're basically making two new fabs as part of what they're calling their Intel Foundry Services. So basically, they're going to use these two new fabs to make processors, all that kind of stuff for other companies. And what's one of the main reasons why they're doing it is because they are based in the U.S. So a lot of government-related products would be run under there. Yeah. Their initial partners include IBM, Qualcomm, Microsoft, and Google. This will expand the campus that they already have there in Arizona. It's a huge,
smart.
huge business. Obviously, we know TSMC. I mean, they're overloaded to hell, you know. So if Intel can come in and be one of those big partners, especially given the massive shortage that we're in, it makes sense. I don't know how long it takes to get these up and running. You know what I mean?
I mean, when you're talking that amount of money, it can't be that quick.
Yeah. So
I mean, I can't even imagine. Yeah. How the precision you have to go to just building out the buildings and the rooms. Yeah. And then
this is what the current, it's a small picture, but this is what the current facility looks like there in Arizona. So, but yeah, that's, I think that's massive for Intel as a company. I think that's going to create a ton of cash flow once it's up and running. I mean, getting, you know, a bunch of companies to buy processors or to get their processors made there. Yeah. And what's interesting is that, so recently, this is a funny story. So recently, Intel put out their anti-M1 or anti-Apple ads with this is the Apple guy, is it not?
Yeah.
That's the original Apple
guy. These are pretty good. I watched a bunch of them at work the other day with my boss. They were pretty funny.
So they got the original Apple guy to tell people now to buy a PC. Because I remember, because the PC guy was like some overweight kind of like dress shirt. So they got they basically got this dude to say, oh no, don't buy a MacBook, get a real PC. Now Intel has said that, well, yeah, Apple can use this as a, or we can, you know, Apple, we can be a, Apple can be one of our customers for the Foundry service, which is really funny. I think it's a funny story. They're going to approach Apple to produce chips for them. Don't know if that's going to happen. Apple obviously uses TSMC to produce their chips, including the M1. So we'll see how that goes, but it's kind of a funny story. So off of the Intel news over to some keyboard news. So Cherry, they make Cherry, most famously known for their switches, Cherry MX switches. Everybody, if you have a mechanical keyboard, you've probably heard of Cherry MX switches. We praise them all the time because they're some of the best. They announced a brand new switch called the Cherry MX Ultra Low Profile. It is tiny. We already saw were they just called the low profile
from Cherry?
Yeah. So they've already had low profile, which are very small. We reviewed keyboards that had them. I've seen them in different laptops. Now they have this ultra low profile, which is even smaller. They say you can see all the different parts of it. It's pretty cool. I don't know.
That's a lot of components, it feels like.
Yeah, so the height is only 3.5 millimeters. It's 70% smaller than the low profile. So this is like...
That's tiny.
That's super tiny.
Where do they expect these to go? Laptops, maybe?
Yeah, laptops. So the next story that we have, you can see the travel distance and the positions of it and all this stuff in here. What's a Centi Watton? I don't know what that means. A force of
Centi Newton.
Yeah. So sorry. Yeah, I can't read.
Centi Watton. No.
I put everything backwards. But yeah. So these are super, super tiny. One of the first laptops that they'll be in is the new Alienware gaming laptops. They're going to feature the super, super tiny switches. So that's pretty cool. They're just crazy, crazy small.
Like, and it seems like so many components too. I mean, you look at a regular mechanical switch, there's a lot of components inside of there. Just looks so complex for a small.
So I'd love to try these out. I do like, I did like the low profiles on a normal keyboard frame.
That's what on a daily basis at work. I have a low profile mechanical blues even, which, you know how much I hate blues, but I like the low profiles.
That doesn't seem like something you'd want in an office because they're clicky.
I'm in an office.
So by yourself, like your own office. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So but, you can probably hear me outside the office. Would have to ask Jenny
But yeah, our last story, which we were talking about, which you actually messaged me about, but could be a pretty big deal. Microsoft is in talks to acquire Discord. I'm sure all of you guys listening. Real quick, Mark in the chat, he said, I have a problem with my PC. Can I ask it here? Sure, go ahead and ask. We might be able to help you, but we'll definitely get to your question if you're still here after we talk about the story. So we use Discord. It started out as just chat, and then they added audio.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it was just chat to start.
It was
with.
Like the new audio version
was there pretty soon after, if I remember correct.
It was kind of like the new version of IRC, I'd say.
Yeah, a lot of people say, oh, you know, a lot of people went from Skype to this, and like, nah, that, I don't think so. I think, yeah, definitely people went from, not went from
I IRC think people
this,
went,
but it's very similar to
I IRC. Think the chat is like from IRC to this, the voice chat is like Ventrilo to this.
Yeah, Vent or, TeamSpeak or something
or
like
TeamSpeak
that.
TeamSpeak to this, yeah. So they basically... Discord basically brought all the coolest chat and voice chat features, you know, into one app, and we use it. I'm in a bunch of different Discords for some of the other things that I follow and friends that I'm with and all that kind of stuff. We use it for voice chat when Ryan is streaming. That's how you hear me through the stream. It's a great app. Microsoft is in talks with Discord to buy it for $10 billion, which is crazy.
$10 billion is a lot of dollars. So
yeah. So now, if you're worried about Microsoft, one, that Discord in the past was in talks with both Epic Games and Amazon, and none of those deals went through. So this is like, could not go through.
Yep.
But if it does go through, you might have something to worry about, because it seems as if anything that Microsoft buys and they don't leave it, like they don't like just let it be its own thing, it gets destroyed. Skype is a prime example. It's trash now. It's so bad. Another more recent example is Mixer. Beam, which was a it was like Twitch. It was like Twitch competitor. Microsoft bought it, turned it into Mixer, which I thought was an amazing platform. It ran so
great.
Smooth. It was good. They hired on Ninja to stream on there exclusively, which was a massive deal. A bunch of other streamers went on there exclusively. It was integrated into Xbox, so you could stream right to it through your Xbox, like just hit a button. That was shut down in June of last year. And there was this graph that it was like Twitch, YouTube Gaming, maybe even Facebook or one other, the big ones, you know, that they all grew in like 2019, and the industry as a whole grew in 2019, like the streaming industry. But for some reason, Mixer was the one service that didn't grow at all, which didn't make any sense. So Microsoft has a history of screwing.
I mean, do people just associate Microsoft and like, they're like, oh, that's, I don't know.
No, because
maybe they just have this weirdness, but Skype was... And Mixer was, you know, think of all the Xboxes that Mixer was on as well, right? Yeah. It came right there, and you just go to that panel and boom, you can watch whoever you want.
And the thing is like, I was always on the website. And when somebody was streaming on Mixer, I never had a bad experience. So I don't know what caused it to not be competitive, because I thought it was a great competitor to Twitch and to YouTube Gaming and all of that. So I don't know what. I don't know. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Obviously we'll know. I would hate for them to go to like a pay model or something like that, or just
the features that we are used to having.
Yeah. Or for like to integrate it into Windows, like they did Skype and just ruin it. Yeah. So we'll see. I guess we'll just see what happens. So that brings us up. Yeah, Joseph said cough Mixer. It's a bad thing. So coming up next week, I'm taking a look at a newer SSD from Samsung. It is their 870 Evo. So off of the NVMe train, back to the SSD train. But again, so many people are buying SSDs, especially for their high capacity. I believe you can get this up to... I think 4 terabyte. It doesn't. Okay.
Yep.
This is, four terabyte.
4 terabyte.
Yeah. Up to 4 terabyte on this thing. It's the newest version of their 2.5 inch SSD.
Samsung QLC, right?
I believe so. Yes. I think most people, when they're buying an SSD, like Samsung is probably one of the top choices. in my review, obviously, tell you why. And then for you, you're taking it, which I have to say, so last week after the podcast, we went and played Apex, and Ryan was the best that he has been in months at Apex, like the best that he's been. And he was using the mouse that he's currently reviewing, which is a lightweight gaming mouse. You know how much I rave about my glorious Model O right here. Like, I love this thing. Or this is the Model D, I'm sorry. The Model D, like, I love it. It's such a good mouse. And Ryan is using a lightweight mouse, and he was very, very good at Apex. And the mouse that he was using is the HyperX. Wait, how do I turn off? This is a big cookie policy down here. Allow all cookies. There we go. They got too many pop-ups on their website. The HyperX PulseFire Haste. You know, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's another lightweight mouse. As you can see, it's got all sorts of holes in it. Super comfy. Like, it's not too big for me, which is a big thing. It's not like a super flashy, tons of buttons. It's got your standard left and right, and then two thumb buttons. No, I'm loving it so far. Nice. It's got the 50, lightweight cord that we love on these lightweight mice. So,
What are virgin grade PTFE skates? What is virgin? What does that mean? that's in this text right here.
What's virgin grade? I don't know why.
I am reading that right? Because I'm having
bad time reading. Yeah, no, I would like. I'm gonna virgin have to look grade. I don't think we had a.
Does that mean they're never used?
Does that
sound horrible? That they're never used.
Like, why would you use that terminology in? Like, just I expect my mouse not to be used when I open it out of the box. So,
that might be the funniest thing. It does have
the PTFE, right? And they're white on the mouse.
What? Yeah, that might be the funniest thing I've read in like a PR
product description.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But yeah, 59 grams, which is incredibly light. I think the one I have is 62, so very, very light. So definitely stay tuned for that, and Ryan will tell you all about the virgin grade mouse case on it.
So Joseph says he's thinking maybe non-recycled content, like maybe some of the PTFE stuff that's used in other mice is made of
recycled
plastics and materials, so...
My mind's just bad. It's just a bad mind there. It is funny to see that. Like, what? Like, you could just put non-recycled or like you could use what, like, you could use another word.
Yeah, pure something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why it'd be a selling point. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe if it's hasn't ever been used or recycled, it has a better.
I don't know. Let's see if it says
glide to virgin grade smooth.
Yeah, it does say it on the site.
Yeah, low smooth, friction. Easy glide, right?
Yeah,
but I guess,
but still,
yeah, and it's but it does have a set of replacements as well, which is nice.
Yeah, so which is nice.
And those it also scroll down. It's got these pads, which I am using two of them. I'm using those two there that you're showing. I'm not using the button one, but that was really nice because the mouse. And I'll talk a little more about this in the review, but it's a plastic mouse. Those pads definitely help.
Nice, nice. So. Excited to we'll see how Ryan plays. We'll be playing Apex after this here in just a little bit. That brings us to if we did anything cool, if we did anything tech related.
I got my lens. I talked with last week. We talked. Right before the show. It came in last Friday, so it's the 22 millimeter. I've got it here on my Canon M50. If it will get off of me.
Autofocus is slow, bro.
It wants
there it is.
Yeah, just a short little pancake lens, prime lens. I've used it a little bit, pretty happy with it. But I'll get some more, about to go on vacation, so I plan to use it a lot more in the next week or so. Speaking of which, I meant to bring that up before the podcast, but we'll talk about that later.
Next
week, I think. You may have a different guest, or
I haven't figured it out yet. But who knows? Ryan won't be here.
I thought I might be back in time, but I will probably be driving when we are typically on Wednesdays.
Yeah. So next week, I don't know what the plan is. If we're going to have a podcast, if we're not, obviously check social media. It will be posted there. What the plan is, I want to get some different people on. We did do that before. having a guest on. I think it's a lot of fun doing that. But we will. I have to plan all those things, and I just haven't done that yet. So, yeah. So stay tuned on social media for that. I've been as you can see behind me, I'm packing. That's basically what I'm doing.
It's your life right now.
Yeah. Did you want, what's that movie everybody's been talking about? Justice League?
No.
You didn't watch that?
I started watching Schitt's Creek, only like 5 or 6 years behind, but
I started watching as well. It's funny. I think I was like five episodes in or six.
Okay, yeah, we're like eight in. Like the first episode, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this, but I got a little further in.
Yeah, it's won a ton of awards.
Yeah.
It's won a ton of awards. So yeah, but yeah, so I don't know what we talked about last week, but I planned my driving route, which should be interesting to say the least. So yeah, I'm just getting ready to move, man.
You're gonna be that guy driving that looks like he lives in his car. You're gonna have all this stuff like piled up
because we have a truck for that. I'll have the dog next to me, be cruising. As I said, we are going to be gaming over on Twitch, twitch.tv, of course, /thinkcomputers. Ryan will have the stream up here very soon, and we will be gaming. So go ahead and check us out over there. Obviously, we appreciate everybody who is here in the live chat. And if you are listening after, whether you're watching us or you're listening to us on audio, we appreciate everybody coming out. And like I said, I'll let you know about next week, but we'll catch you next time. We'll catch you. See you guys.